stand here before you on the steps of the Absolute Radio Studios at One Golden Square in this year of our Lord 2024 to bring you an important announcement, a decision we have reached after yesterday's nationwide coat audit.
As the temperature begins its gradual ascent and the sun graces us with its warmth, it's a signal for us to shed our heavy winter coats and embrace lighter attire.
With spring blooming around us, we say that it's time to bid farewell to the bulky layers that once shielded us from the biting cold, and instead we can welcome the season of renewal by donning lighter fabrics and brighter colours, allowing ourselves to feel more connected to the rejuvenating energy of nature.
Hear, hear. So with the power invested in us, we do, therefore, after much consideration, officially rescind and deactivate the Big Coat Protocol with immediate effect as per Article 22.14 of the Hometime Show Charter.
Absolute Radio listeners should now put away their big coats in secure locations and put on their lighter jackets, coatigans, gilets, and those little cagoule things nanas wear. Thank you very much.
No, we will not be taking any further questions. Thanks very much.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
There you go. Enjoy. We've just rescinded the Big Coat Protocol. Wear what you want.
Always dissenting voices, though. No matter what happens on this show, always dissenting voices. Does that apply in Scotland, says one message. Yes, it does.
It applies to UK, maybe even worldwide.
Blanket ruler. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
And another text here, but it's going to snow next week. I've not seen a single forecast saying it's going to snow next week. This is absurd.
What was that weather guy said? No, don't worry, it'll all be fine.
Oh, yeah.
Something Fish.
Fish, Michael Fish.
You're the new him. So there's been a lot of chat this week on the Hometime Show WhatsApp group about Richie's new train simulator video game. And it's good, it looks real. You keep sending me little clips. You've bought the track that is the route that I do a lot to go and pick my eldest daughter up.
That's the only reason I've bombarded you with it. Yes, Train Sim World 4 is the game that I play, and there's been a new route that has been added this week, which is Gospel Oak to Barking. I know that that is a route that you ride loads of times. Now, you're not normally interested in any of my train stuff.
No.
All right, but I feel that I listen to a lot of board game stuff.
You have to put up with a lot of it, yeah.
I didn't say it like that, but if that's how you hear
it's
it,
like
I'm so sorry.
Marriage counselling, isn't it?
So I thought it's my turn to share stuff with you about my train sim, yeah.
So as I opened the little clip that you sent me, I was expecting to just take the mickey, but it does look real.
It's amazing.
It does actually look real. And that line, the barking of Gospel Oak, you can see all the different stations. You can see it looks just like it actually is.
It is so realistic. I spent 35 minutes this morning just driving along it.
Brilliant. How was your trip? Was it all right?
It's great. It's really
on
good,
time
yeah.
and everything?
Yeah. 2 minutes early.
There's where the reality's slipping a little bit. But it is nearly photorealistic. But what I feel it's lacking a little bit is that next level of the human behaviour that we see all the time that would add and give it maybe a more authentic rail travel experience that we all know. So we thought, let's use this little first half an hour of home time this evening to brainstorm some downloadable content, DLC ideas. Imagine this, you can fire up your Xbox, pick a particular pack that it uploads and then that appears in your game world. For example, you could download an avatar of a bloke watching TikTok on full volume. That's real trains, isn't it? Any other stuff we could whack in there?
Could you have a passenger who has come on with a very large electronic mountain bike?
Yes.
And then they put it across the doors so no one can get off at that particular exit.
One of those ones where they've inflated the tyres.
That's
too big.
Yeah, really, really big. Yeah.
Too big to the point where no one needs tyres.
Sat
that big.
Threateningly across the doors.
I know this is difficult because it's a visual medium, but could you get the smell of weed on there as well? Because that's what it's like being on the trains.
That really is broaching different tech, though.
But they're always breaking down boundaries, aren't
yes.
they? So let's come up with some great ideas for downloadable content to give a more authentic rail travel experience for Richie's new train sim video games.
It would randomly not let you play for a while just to simulate some delays.
What about that? Or a strike, even. We've got them coming up, haven't we? Someone who is called Wafty Crank, which is a really hard name to read out on the show.
Wow.
Says, what about some rotter who thinks eating crisps on the train is acceptable? Someone who's taken off their shoes and socks. Half the train filled by people who think they can stand whilst their bag occupies the seat next to them.
Yes!
Paul says, what about an interactive option to flick through a two-week-old Metro newspaper? It's good. Lion says, what about a pigeon hopping on at Charing Cross Station to peck at unidentifiable crumbs under the seats and hopping off at Waterloo East?
That's very, very good.
£2.50 DLC.
Generally, the passengers on the game are very well behaved. Philip's suggesting a drunk couple having a Barney.
Yes.
That'd be good.
Girl having really loud argument with boyfriend without any headphones on. That'd be good.
Chris, what's your idea?
like you could have the weekend evening DLC, what basically drunken, disruptive passengers.
Yes. So like load of people, because if you get those last couple of trains on a Friday or Saturday, it's absolutely awful. It's like Dante's Inferno, isn't it?
Yeah. And so you say people spewing all over the trains, getting them taken out of service. Well, it must be lovely for the cleaners, eh?
God bless the cleaners.
Yeah, I'm just envisaging that being animated. That's going to look quite something.
Wouldn't that be great? So, you know, with trains, right? Mm-hmm. If you do that in a taxi, it's a 50 quid fouling charge. What happens on a train? Is there any recourse if this, if that bad thing happens, you make a mess?
I think just public embarrassment.
That's what it is, isn't it?
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
£50 taxi soiling charge, Bush. You're showing your age. It's £125 if you want to puke in my cab. And that doesn't cover the cost of valeting and lost earnings.
Hey, look, it's actually a backhanded compliment there, because you're showing your age because it's such a long time since you've been in a position where you've thrown up in the back of a taxi after a night out. Now, we need to talk about ladybirds.
OK.
Beautiful, aren't they?
I'm glad you call them ladybirds. Some people call them ladybugs, and it kind of winds me up.
Yeah, they're not that.
Is that an American thing?
I think it is.
Stop calling them ladybugs.
They're ladybirds. They're insects when it comes down to it. And it appears, well, here's the debate. My wife is certain that we have an infestation of ladybirds at the moment.
An infestation?
Keeps seeing ladybirds in the bathroom. Goes, look, it's another ladybird. Oh, no, it's another ladybird.
Another ladybird.
Oh, it's another ladybird. And then this morning, like, Rocco's like, oh, look, Daddy, it's another ladybird. I'm like, you can stop it as well. And she's like, we've got an infestation of ladybirds. We've got to get rid of them. And I'm thinking, I don't think... When you get an infestation of something, it's generally bad, isn't it? It could be spiders or flies, and that would indicate something's dead somewhere.
I would say infestation is when they crawl over your face and eyes if you go in the room.
Exactly.
So you remember the famous scene from the Amityville Horror when the priest goes into one of the bad rooms, there's like flies all over his face, yep. And he can't get out? That's an infestation.
That's an infestation. He hasn't got ladybirds all over him, has he? Fluttering away as they fly off with their beautiful spotted wings.
That would be all right. Flies would be terrible. Ladybirds on you, you'd be like, oh... You get one on your shoulder for a bit. You think, oh, hello.
Isn't this
beautiful? Come along with me for the day.
Look at that. And you walk around slowly to show everyone the ladybird that's decided to land on you. If I can have an infestation of something, please may it be the prettiest insect there is.
Well, the only thing is, though, have you heard of, like, isn't there the black-shelled ones are, like, bad? I feel like that you've got loads of, like, friendly ladybirds. They're the nice ones, carry them on your shoulder, make a new friend, etc. And then apparently there's, like, ones, if they're jet black on their shell, they're, like, dead poisonous and want to kill you.
I've not seen them.
Andy in Coventry has texted in to say, apparently the number of spots a ladybird has on its back is the number of times it's killed in prison.
He's not helping very much,
That's
is he?
That's unbelievable, that, isn't it? Who'd have thought that? And they've got such good PR.
Someone else saying they are hibernating and just waking. I don't think ladybirds hibernate.
Building up in numbers, but asleep and ready to strike. Some interesting stuff coming in. Serena in Camberley says, we also have a ladybird infestation, which is fine until they dive bomb you in your bed. And apparently the black shell ones are riddled with chlamydia.
What? Oh, come off it.
They were getting real insight into the true story behind ladybirds
tonight. Not having that. Joe in Gravesend says, I've been an admirer of the ladybird, but I changed my mind after a holiday to Suffolk 10 years ago. There was indeed a ladybird infestation. I got bitten on the leg and I still have the scar to this day.
Wow, all those times you put them on your hand and stroke their backs, they've got the potential to bite you. Although this will make things a little bit back towards the niceness. Ruth, an eight-month-old Teddy, have been on. Said, guys, do you know a group of ladybirds is called a loveliness?
That's more like it.
That's more like it, isn't it? That's what we want.
Amanda is hanging on, though, with quite an alarming tale.
So, as a child in the 70s, it was 1976, we were on holiday in North Wales. We got dropped off at the beach with our bucket and spades, my sister, it was my dad. And suddenly my bucket was filling up with ladybirds. And then suddenly they were all over us. Me and my sister were crying, saying, they're biting. My dad was like, don't be daft, you'll be fine. And then my granddad came to pick us up and we had to put the windscreen wipers on to move them off the screen.
Oh my
now,
word.
I remember it so vividly. And I tell my husband this story and he says, I think you made that up. I don't think that's actually true. But yeah, there was a ladybird plague in 1976.
Wow, so that's an actual thing. The ladybird plague of 1976 was a thing, and that would be childhood trauma for you.
Absolute childhood trauma for me. And I do remember it so, so vividly. I don't remember what I had for dinner last night, but I remember the ladybird plague.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Cars driving around with windscreen wipers on, having to clear ladybirds from the windscreen.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Amanda, can we ask you one other question?
Yes, of course.
At the start of this call, he's back, I was saying your dog was barking non-stop and then it just suddenly stopped. I just want to make sure everything was okay.
Ladybird's got it.
Ladybird's got it, but he's back in the room.
She's fine. She's only a pup. She's only a year old.
Love it. Well,
she's
listen,
actually having a conversation with the neighbour's dog.
Oh, sounds very one way.
Yeah, they are chatting away, aren't they?
This is the Daily Takeaway.
So many stories of the plague of ladybirds of 1976, to the extent that we found out that Channel 5 did a documentary about the heatwave of 1976 and the infestation of ladybirds. Who did they get to talk about? Only Vanessa Fells.
It was like a really horrible, cheap, low-budget horror film. An enormous plague of ladybirds.
Oh, dear.
None of us had ever known anything like it. And my grandma, Sybil, said, this is the end of the world.
From Glenamonsea to Weston-super-Mare, everything and everyone on and around the beaches were under attack from giant swarms of tiny ladybirds.
You saw these people walking along the beachfront and suddenly, flum, an enormous plague of ladybirds landed.
All I'm trying to do is get down to the beach. Pack it in, I think. Never had anything like this before.
Love it. I love the way people used to talk in the older days. Well, I can't but go down the beach with that. I can't do that, but the ladybirds landing on my head all over the place.
Gonna have to pack it
in. The noise of the past. It's Bush and Ritchie's Sound of the Decades.
Absolute Radio 90s.
So we were kind of thinking about calling this off earlier on because maybe it's too difficult and you guys are never going to get it. It's a mystery sound effect from the 1990s, but we may as well just, you know, rather than just getting rid of it completely, let's just play it, just in the off chance you might know it. What's that sound?
Plenty of people think they do. Steve is our contestant this evening. How are you, Steve?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
We're very, very good. Earlier on the show, we deactivated the big coat protocol. What have you been wearing out and about today, Steve?
I've just been wearing my work gear, so jeans and a polo shirt.
There you go, he's fine.
Work gear. Right, don't tell us what you do. Jeans and a polo shirt. What do you reckon he does?
Landscape gardener.
Are you a landscape gardener, Steve?
No.
IT.
Sorry.
Some kind of IT person that fixes stuff, basically tells you to turn it off and turn it back on again.
In a sense, yeah.
Well done.
So you're getting closer, you're warmer. This is a new competition coming out now.
Competition within a competition within a competition. What is it that you do, Steve?
I do CCTV and access control security equipment.
Oh, my friend Paul used to be the CCTV operative for the Marks and Spencers in Torquay, Fleet Walk. And he used to have to try and spot shoplifters and stuff. What an amazing job that would be.
Wow.
I'd love that. Just fly on the wall. Ladybird on the wall.
Well, you've won nothing for that competition, Steve. But Sound of the Decades from the 90s. Which of the Absolute Radio stations do you listen to Home Time with, Steve?
Usually the 80s.
OK.
So good man. Are you an 80s person, would you say?
Well, I was born in the 70s, so I grew up through the 80s, and, yeah, I am a bit of an 80s freak, yeah.
OK. Well, should we have a listen to it? Let's see whether you reckon you know what this is. It's from the 90s. What are you thinking?
Lottery balls dropping.
Sounds painful. Let's have a listen. Oh, yeah. Is that when they've got, like, a different name for all the different machines, like Tony and Lancelot
and
stuff?
Yeah, when it all started in the 90s, the lottery, they did make a big deal about it, more than ever needed, really.
If aliens landed and looked into what we watched on TV and we would sit up on a Saturday night and watch balls bounce around and then come out six different numbers, they think, what is going on? They probably keep on moving.
It's a good guess, Steve. Let's have a find out if it's right.
You're a loser and you have lost.
Sorry, sunshine, it ain't the lottery balls.
Oh, well.
It's very stoic about it.
It is indeed.
Steve, what does this evening hold for you now that unfortunately it hasn't been your day on the Sound of the Decades?
I shall just carry on the rest of my way home, feed my face, and then go out somewhere.
What do you mean? That's very vague.
What do you mean, go out somewhere? What do you mean, like, into the wilderness? Or you mean to, like, a cinema or what?
I'll go off to see the missus, I think.
I feel like I don't want to ask. I want to ask more questions, but
don't.
There's a red flag there as well.
Yeah, Steve.
There's no red flags. There's no red flags.
Oh, I think there's a few, Steve. He's
Steve,
gone now.
Hard luck. It is not the lottery balls dropping. Sound of the Decades will take a rest over the weekend and return on Monday.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Home Time with Bush and Richie, the soundtrack to your Thursday night. Let's be completely honest, sometimes in life there are gaps in the matrix, blanks in the words, language, that we don't have words for certain things. That's why every Thursday night we sit down and try and find words for things in a feature that we call, surprisingly, Find a Word For.
Sometimes you have to search for those words because you don't realise that that situation doesn't have a label. But then yesterday, it just came upon us both. We were talking about flapjacks and how we're both addicted to flapjacks. I've been buying one every single day from the station car park, from the little cafe,
yes,
as I come into work. You are also addicted to flapjacks.
And it's not just, you know, it's any type of flapjack, to be honest with you. I'll take anything that's going, but I think we've both got a problem.
We have both got a problem, and there is no name for that person. So, today, we find a word for someone who is addicted to flapjacks.
And then we'll be able to say to people in the future, whatever it is we come up with.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'll start you off. I'll start you off here, because I'm quite proud with this.
Okay.
My name is Richie, and I am an otista.
An otista?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, flapjacks are made out of oats, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got baristas who make coffee. Yeah.
I always feel like you try to be too clever with yours, and you always end up having to explain it.
How rude! I would say that people who don't understand mine are quite ignorant.
Well, there you go.
It's a barista. They're an expert at coffee.
You
and I are experts at flapjacks. We are otistas.
Where's the addiction in that, though? Do you know what I mean? There needs to be some kind of out of controlness with all this.
Wait, it's given, isn't it?
Well, it's implied.
Yeah.
It's implied, fair enough.
Thank you. Now you see my wisdom, yeah?
That's a good point.
Just wanted to check.
All of these things you send in will obviously be subject to incredible scrutiny. my one, I don't want to say it because it sounds awful, like wrong.
Give yourself 3 seconds to think in your head.
Okay, here we go. My name's Andy and I appear to be flaptivated. And again, I might have to withdraw that because I don't think that sets the right tone. I don't think we've hit the mark with either of them, I'll be honest with you.
Well, all right. If neither of us have hit the mark, we've both gone very opposite ends. Nikki is in Southend, says, surely you're an otizan.
I'm having an issue with this particular area of it. Do you know what I mean?
All oat-based ones you're not recognising.
I don't know what it is. Because then you would say it's like a barista or whatever in a coffee shop is addicted to coffee, but they ain't. They're good at coffee. They ain't addicted.
Someone else here says, surely they are otivated.
Well, just to go on the other side of things, Alan's been on to say, what about a jacktophile? Probably not. Probably not, mate, to be honest with you.
No.
But we're open to all your suggestions. We've got Sarah on the line. Sarah, a great word then, please, for being addicted to flapjacks?
Flapjanky.
A flap what? What is that?
Well, a junkie's an addict, isn't it?
Yes.
So, flapjack, but flapjanky.
Okay, I like that.
I like it.
It's serious, but also fun and knockabout and oat-based as well.
Finding words. It hits everything,
really.
In the English language.
Yes,
well, thank you very much, Sarah. Bush and Richie, flapjacks.
That's right, trying to find a word for people who are addicted to flapjacks, like Richie and I are. We eat too many a week. We've got a problem. But what's a good word for it? Because there isn't one at the minute. Nigel at the Rage Rooms in Norwich, with lots to unpack there, says, what about a flapologist?
Yes.
I like that.
Fizz suggesting a flaphead.
That's good. Lee says, flap fiend. It's kind of going down a certain theme here.
Julia is in Royston, says, my son used to be addicted to flapjacks, so she knows about this. Says, when he was little, he couldn't pronounce flapjack. He used to clamour for a fat duck. So I suggest that is the name for someone who's addicted to flapjacks.
Kind of cute.
It is cute.
He's like a little tiny oat-based Nick Cotton, isn't he? This text here says, hi guys, it's Andreas. I'm not sure what the word is for someone who's addicted to flapjacks right this minute, but if you keep eating flapjacks like you're doing at the moment, in 6 months, you're going to be known as the Lardy Boys.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Well, we're putting our hands up and we're admitting our problem here, and we're going to try and sort it out, that's for sure.
It's been one of the most popular Find a Word Fours that we have done, but there can only be one word, there can only be one winner, and that has come in from Sarah, and it was fantastic.
Flapjanky. An absolute belter. Great to speak to her, and that's the word that it's going to be.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Daily Takeaway. Obviously, started the episode with a momentous announcement about the Big Coke Protocol. So if you're listening to this podcast as you head out and about walking, at least you know you're just in your light jacket. Speaking of clothing, I realised today that I'm 4 days away from having to attend a funeral, sadly.
Not blimey.
But I've realised that I don't really know what my suit status is at the moment.
Oh, my words.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, there's a certain colour of clothing and suit that you generally should be wearing to a funeral, but I'm not sure that, for me, beggars can be choosers at the right now. I think it's just going to be whatever one fits.
It's a weird situation. My dad has had two nightmares with funerals in terms of outfits, because he didn't check it properly. My mum chucked the stuff in the car, and then we went up to Liverpool for the funeral, and then he found out to his dismay. So the first time, my mum had packed my little sister's blouse for his white shirt. So he had to wear a pink shirt to a funeral, looked like a pimp. And then the second time, the next funeral, we had this horrible run of funerals up in Liverpool.
Yeah.
The next one, my mum accidentally grabbed my brother, my younger brother's absolutely rinsed pinstripe secondhand suit that he wore to the student leavers ball, so I had mud on the knees. And he had to wear that. It looked like my dad had hit hard times. So just watch out, that's all I'd say.
You mentioned the shirt there. I haven't even thought about that as well.
Just don't wear a pink shirt.